Well, one last time for 2013, we're going to talk sport here on RN Drive, and Australia and the program's great sporting philosopher is Gerard Whateley from ABC Grandstand. He joins us on a day that I think we can say is going to be, maybe it's the eve of, the day of great celebration in this country when Australia finally reclaims the Ashes. And if you've been tuning in, it will be pretty hard to go past this moment as one of the exciting moments of the summer.
Anderson bowls and Watson down the leg side. Bat or pad? He reckons it's bat. He's made his fourth Test century. Men on the boundary everywhere, but nobody that fine at fine leg. Well played, Watto. A brilliant 100.
Yeah, he finally did it. Not entirely sure it counts in quite the way he might like it to, but God, he just smoked them everywhere this morning, and that's pretty much the tone of what we've been seeing for much of the summer. Gerard Whateley joins us now. Gerard, I think it was in June we were talking about this series as the referendum on Australian cricket. Is the referendum passed?
Yes, Whateley, the whole theory here all along was he who holds the Ashes last holds the Ashes longest. And that's going to be Australia. And you can sense right across the nation, be it on radio or television or wherever you gather with your mates, it's been a reminder of how deeply it is ingrained in us to care about the Australian cricket team and the Ashes, and how winning beats the hell out of losing. And look, these three tests in their own way they've been remarkably similar. And when Australia gets in these positions, in those second innings, where they can just pummel, they do it mercilessly. So to go through, you know, the start of day four when Watson did that, and then the first ball of the English innings, when the ball hadn't threatened the bat all day, and Harris tears through Cook. Mm. I mean, you could hear the nation exulters one at lunchtime, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon that. But was that ball not the most unplayable ball you've seen from a paceman? I reckon that is the fast bowler's answer to Warne's ball of the century.
Yeah, well, and Cook gets caught halfway between forward and back, so it's actually the second time he's gone in precisely like that. I thought the Johnson ball that he got broad with, LBW, the swinging Yorker, I think that's the unplayable. So Australia have just had extreme highlights with the bat, with centuries all over the place now, and these tremendous moments of both venom and skill with the ball. It's the absolute, it's the peak performance. It's been quite brilliant. And when this series embarked, I would have given you 1,000 to 1 that would be 3-0 at the end of Perth. Mm. And here it's going to be. It's going to be the Ashes won in straight sets.
Good thing you're not a bookmaker, I think it's fair to say. But I'm gonna pour a little rain on this parade, maybe a very slight passing shower, because it is a great moment for Australian cricket, and it's a moment that, as you say, was so unexpected. But I think there are questions that remain unanswered. And in many ways, it was encapsulated by this passage of play that you no doubt saw. It was almost hysterical. But Shane Watson, who just made this brilliant 100, then went and did this.
Bresnan has replaced Stokes. Bresnan bowls to Watson. Short. Oh, he's going to be out. He's top edge this. It's gone in the air to cover. It waits for an hour to come down. It's dropped. Yeah, too long to
run
think
out.
About it.
He got run out.
Oh, Watson was just cursing the fact that he'd hit the catch, forgot to actually complete the run, and he's out, run out.
Gerard, is that not a metaphor for everything we've seen this summer, and for, in spite of all the success, this conundrum that will perpetually surround some members of our team, Shane Watson perhaps being emblematic of that?
To some degree, yes. I actually thought that was the moment that showed how far England has fallen. I think the reversal of roles here, it's like Freaky Friday. From the teams that played in the Northern Ashes series, where Australia found all the moments of calamity with drop catches and missed opportunities, and they would work so hard to put themselves into matches only to sort of blow it in a 30-minute period, it's the absolute inverse here. Oh, I think the thing with Australian cricket and with this team is, you know, you don't need the perfect team. And that's probably true in most sports, and it's certainly true in cricket, Test cricket as it is right now, is you just need a certain degree of chemistry and you need weapons. And Mitch Johnson recast this series in its entirety. And then on the back of that, the leadership of Australia, which had been so weak in the way that they'd been culturally developing, and they were a fragmented team. And here they were together, Clark and Haddon, under the guidance of Darren Lehman. And Clark and Haddon have sort of held everything together with the bat. Johnson's provided a weapon, and he's created a chemistry within that bowling setup where Harris looks better and Siddle looks better and Lyon looks better on the back of Johnson. Is there's a synergy about Australian cricket which has been missing for a number of years. So I won't nitpick. I think there are clear form problems. There's an unreliability at times, but as a cohesive team, they're presenting in a way that they haven't done for a number of years, and that's what they're going to win on the back of.
Okay, accepted. But can you really take it to the bank when in the first innings of every test match so far in the summer, we've been four or five down for not that many?
Well, all I can do is rely on what's actually happened. So there are frailties still, but they're frailties that they've been able to overcome this time. Numerically, and that's all cricket is a game of numbers, their numbers more than stack up, and they're vastly superior to England's numbers, and you would have said at the start of the series that England's batting was more reliable than Australia's. Well, you can't put that forward anymore. And I do think that in this world of Test cricket, where the standard is not nearly what it has been in the past, is you go, well, what will happen in the next series? Well, Australia will beat most teams out here in any sort of form like this. The calamity of earlier in the year in India is sort of cast aside now. While the personnel might be reasonably the same, the characteristics of the team are dramatically changed. And when this story is written, we're going to think long and hard about Darren Lehman's role, and he's much more of what we would associate with a football coach than he is a traditional cricket coach.
Let's look at the bowling side of things. You've mentioned Mitchell Johnson. My theory on this, for what it's worth, is that Mitchell Johnson might actually be less important as a figure here than Craig McDermott, because it seems to me that they're bowling as a unit in a way that I have not seen, perhaps even going back to some of the Warne McGrath moments, where the individual brilliance of those bowlers sometimes came to the fore. Whereas in a way here, there's almost an indistinguishability about the consistency of this attack.
Well, I think, you know, Harris bowled as one man out in England and in the way that he bowled. And then to see him in a collective where pressure builds on pressure. And just watching those phases of Saturday's match where England was on top with the bat, and the way that they dug in, so instead of getting sort of blown out in an hour and a half, as the team had done in recent series, they dug in and they relied right on the plans and the disciplines that were both taught and demanded, and they just eked out the results and overwhelmed the batsmen with consistent pressure from both ends. So Cricket Australia will ask itself, I'm sure, is how did they lose Craig McDermott? Because you'll recall that phase at the end of the last Ashes series in Australia, where Australia could not get the ball to move one iota. And as soon as the English took it, they would get it to swing and then they would get it to reverse swing.
Yep.
McDermott came in and clearly taught them techniques and made them a better bowling side. And then he was lost to the cause somehow or another. And we know what that was, is that the cultural failings within that organisation and within that team were dire, to the point that people didn't want to be a part of it. And this has changed so dramatically in a short period of time on the change in personnel that people like McDermott, and really I think that it is Lehman's, it's Lehman's baby. And I can see it in the way that they're playing, in the confidence, in the camaraderie, where they've overcome the personal disputes that have marked the team. And then the skill side of it. And McDermott already had shown a knack to do it. And now at the most important moment, he's done it.
We will celebrate the moment, Jared, and I will celebrate the year on air with you. Thank you very much for being with us throughout the whole year. And with any luck, we'll be on air together next year.
Well, Waleed, when you think about it now, together we've seen the green jacket at last.
Yes.
So that's one off the bucket list, and the Ashes return. So again, I'm prepared to declare it a triumph.
Yeah, well, you left out Richmond making the finals, which I think was probably the great triumph of the year. But, you know, it's all right. You're allowed to have the odd oversight.
Very good.
No worries. We'll speak again soon. Jared Waitley from ABC's Grandstand speaking to us, our regular sports correspondent on RN Drive. If you just want to celebrate, go on. Send me a text, 0418 226 576. Or find us on Twitter at RN Drive. We've been looking. We never thought this moment had come as soon as it has, but it seems to have. Well, Lee Daly with you for Summer Drive. We're calling it